You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, September 8th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. This year's freshman class is just getting settled into their first year of college, but next year's freshmen are not only finalizing where they're going to attend college, but how they're going to pay for it. Many families plan to borrow through student loans, but financial experts say that planning process should have already begun.
A lot of people make the mistake of not planning, and then they end up with a $300,000 college bill. You're planning for your financial future starting with college, and so budgeting is really important.
So how far ahead of entering college should students and families start planning for what's likely to be one of the biggest expenses they ever take on? And how should they allocate funds now for paying off the loan after graduation? We'll talk with WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk about that after the break.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Americans currently hold more than $1.5 trillion in student debt, and families of students planning to enter college next year are in line to add to that number. For many families, having to borrow is a no-brainer, but how much should they borrow? And what's the best way to map out paying it back? WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk has been our go-to contact for the college loans picture in the U.S. She's been speaking with financial experts about this topic, and she's here to talk about it. Cheryl, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Cheryl, borrowing money for college is a huge undertaking. How many families with college-age students are affected?
It actually affects a lot of families. So a recent survey by College Ave Student Loans, which is a provider of private student loans, found that 55% of families plan to take out student loans this year. That's a pretty large number. And of those families, slightly more than half say they expect to borrow $10,000 to $40,000 in loans, and 23% said they plan to borrow $75,000 or more. So we're not talking small amounts here. And especially when you consider the huge amount of debt that this country has in the aggregate debt, $1.6 trillion or so, it's a big problem.
Now, you've spoken to a lot of people who work in the area of financial decisions regarding college. What do they say about the planning process for taking out a loan?
You really can't plan enough. A lot of people make the mistake of not planning, and then they end up with a $300,000 college bill, and then they're like, well, now what? But really, you need to be planning all along and say, it's just like doing a budget, right? You're going to work, and you're paying for your expenses, but in this case, you're planning for your financial future starting with college, and so budgeting is really important.
Okay, so how long before a student applies for colleges should the family start having these conversations about budgeting?
Well, at least a couple years, because you want to know when you're applying to schools that you're applying to schools that you can actually afford. So what you can do is you can go to a school's website. There's something called a net price calculator there. And you can also use expected family contribution calculators, which are available on the College Board's Big Future website. And to give you a sense of how much you might be able to get in aid, you put in your figures, your financial figures, and you'll get a sense of how much you might get in aid and how much you might need to borrow. And if you're looking at schools that seem way out of the ballpark, you may have to reconsider. I mean, do keep in mind that some schools will meet your full financial need. So it is an estimate. But at the same time, if it seems like you have to borrow way too much for your comfort level, then you really need to take a step back and say, is this something that's going to be worth it for me?
There are a few online tools that can help people map out a student's financial picture regarding paying off loans. How do those work? What sorts of information and numbers do they work into that equation?
First, you're going to want to think about what you might want to do after you get out of school. Now, certainly that's really hard. You know, most 17-year-olds don't know what they want to do when they're, you know, applying to schools. But take a reasonable guess about some, you know, possible careers. There's nothing saying you have to pick that exact career, but do some research. See what, you know what you like potentially. So see what you like and see what those careers could pay. And once you get an idea on that, you can use an online tool such as, you know, salary.com or Glassdoor for that. And then also the Bureau of Labor Statistics also has some data on, you know, salaries. But once you do that, you should not forget about taxes because people often do forget about taxes. And that's a big issue. So say you're in New York and you're a single person and you're making $50,000. You're like, great, I'm making $50,000. Well, after taxes, you're really only making $39,000 and change. So you really have to figure that into your calculations. And that's only going to be, you know, say $3,200 and change a month. And then you have to figure in rent and food and other debt you might have. So you really have to weigh that all out, which is why budgeting is so important. In terms of how much a student loan payment should be in your overall budget, there's no definite number, but just, you know, between, say, 8% to 20%, depending on the other numbers. If you're living in a really high area where your rent is like this crazy amount, then you may have to budget a little less for student loan debt. You have to think about that. But between 8 to 20% of take-home pay, and that's after taxes, remember, can be safely allocated probably toward student loan payments.
And there's a lot riding on these decisions, people's education, their finances, their life after college. So what other tools are available to help people through the whole decision process?
So there's a free tool developed by Educate to Career, which is a nonprofit that helps families in the college planning process. And it's actually a pretty cool tool, and it can help you kind of see how much you might be able to afford, and you can play around with a different number. So you can run simulations based on things like, you know, what your intended major is, where you want to go to school, or where you think you're going to go to school, where you think you're going to live after you graduate, how much your family plans to contribute from your savings, how much you might get in scholarship. There's a whole bunch of things that you can play around with, and you don't have to do it just one time. You can try it as a biology major, you can try it as a teacher, you can try it as a whole bunch of different things and just see how the numbers come out. There's also the federal government's student loan simulator, and this is actually a really great tool to help you estimate the size of your monthly payments under different repayment options. So there's a standard repayment option, which is 10 years, and then there's something called income-driven repayment, which is based on your income and your household size. And the tool can help you determine how even taking on more debt can affect your total repayment obligation. And this is also really important to do, and you can run this for each school and to see how much, if it X school you think you're going to need to take on, you know, Y amount of debt, and then you can compare it and you can see, you know, what your financial outcome may be.
Now, I also want to ask about graduate school. Is it too early in the process of planning out your undergrad finances for a student to think about whether they might want to go to grad school?
You absolutely need to think about it in advance because many majors today do require grad school, and the average student loan debt for a graduate degree was $71,000, and that was in 2015-2016. So you really do need to plan ahead for what could be a long haul.
Now, we've heard some talk about the potential for widespread student debt forgiveness, but so far not a lot has really come of that. But there is a scenario where a student who takes on a lot of debt could actually have it forgiven after graduation, depending upon the kind of job they take. How would that work?
So if you're in applicable public service jobs and you work in that job for 10 years and you make 10 years of qualifying payments, it's 120, but it really, you know, assuming you're doing it all along, it's really 10 years of qualifying payments. For an approved public service job, there's a lot of contingencies, but assuming that you meet all those requirements, then you would have your federal debt forgiven. So most people at 17 don't know what they want to do for the rest of their life. So to say that you're going to be working for a public service job for at least 10 years after graduating, it may be a bit of a stretch for some people. Now, maybe some people are so, you know, they're so sure of what they want to do with their life, and this is what they're going to do, and they really expect to be in public service for the next 10 years. And if that's the case, well, okay, maybe the debt conversation becomes a different one. If you're not 100% sure, you really shouldn't count on it, because the problem is you're still on the hook for that debt.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks for being with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.